Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the Hot Corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me.
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The Balance has you covered with a Hot Corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all on the Hot Corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
Well, hello, hello, hello. My name's Tom Marquis. Welcome, my minions. Welcome to the Hot Corner. Obviously, this is the Balance production of the Hot Corner. We break down all the MLB action for you all night long, or at least for the next hour anyway. I won't say necessarily all night long. But for the next hour, we're going to be talking about, you know, all your favorite MLB teams, what's going on, what's the hot topics, what's the rumors, fantasy. Also, joining us here at the bottom of the hour is going to be Mr. Jeff Kurtz. Going to be talking with us a little. We're going to dive into the farm system. We haven't been able to do that in a while. We're going to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Indians and a few other AAA teams. But joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, welcome back to the Hot Corner, sir. How you doing?
Tom, how you been, buddy?
Fantastic, brother. Man, I'll tell you what, it's beautiful here in Indianapolis. The cars are on the track. I know this is a baseball show, but hey, the cars are on the track. This Saturday is pole day in Indianapolis. So absolutely, we're doing things on multiple different fronts. That's for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the MLB today. The Cardinals fall to the Mets 5-2. That's the only final that we have so far today. But so what's been going on in your world, Mr. $2 Bill Josh?
Well, I recently got engaged. Going on in my outside sports world. Think you're ready for the month of May. Sorry to say I can't go to 500 with you. And watching those red-hot Indianapolis Indians, what have you been up to, Tom?
Hey, man, those Indians are pretty hot this year. It's like everybody else is right now. That's absolutely for sure. Well, and the thing about it is, because we are doing things at multiple front, we are actually not in studio today. We are remotely just outside of Indianapolis and, just not too far from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They've got some broadcast restrictions. Obviously, we're out there doing track reports and stuff for the Balance Radio Network and IndianMay.com. Well, let's just dive right into it. I know that some of the conversations we wanted to talk about today, but let's kind of break down a little bit about what's going on in the MLB and all the action that's going on over there in the various different fronts, if you will. And let's just kind of dive into the standings and talk a little bit about some of the teams, and we'll kind of get to our topic at hand. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the umpires and how things have kind of gotten crazy, and really maybe we would say that a lot of blown calls, and obviously we look back at the game that we talked about here on Hot Corner just a couple weeks ago with Gene Walker, may have been last week, about
what you know happened out there with Oakland and the A's game and so forth out there that really ended up costing a game. So we're going to get into that topic as well. But we got some games on deck tonight. The Milwaukee Brewers, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, Pittsburgh Pirates having a pretty good season, coming in 23-17, and the Milwaukee Brewers 16-23. They're in the National League. So let's talk a little bit about this matchup tonight, coming up at 7:05. Just a short amount of time as the first pitch around the Milwaukee Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, as me and you have both covered the Indianapolis Indians a lot over the last 2, 3, 4 years. I'm a huge Red Sox fan, but my second favorite team would have to be the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because, Tom, there's very few people that me and you don't personally know on a personal basis on the Pittsburgh Pirate roster. Anybody who's come up with the Indians in the last 3 or 4 years, me and you know on a personal and on a media level, maybe more on a media level than personal with someone, but a few of them we know on a personal level. So it's really neat to see them get to the big leagues and have success.
Right, absolutely. And I tell you what, and I was just making that comment just the other day to our producer, Michelle Jones, who was talking with us a little bit. I was talking a little bit about the Indians and how a lot of the players on the Pirates right now, we certainly know by name and so forth. So let's break down this game. It's the Brewers, the Pirates. What are your thoughts about that game?
Well, Pittsburgh's off to a 23-17 start. I think they're first or second in the National League Central. They have Starling Marte and Andrew McCutchen, two of the best outfielders in all of baseball. They have a solid pitching rotation. Milwaukee's just not very good. So I would think if Pittsburgh comes out and gets some timely hits, especially in the first 2 or 3 innings, they have a chance to blow Milwaukee out. But either way, I think they're going to get a W. It's just a question, will it be a big or a small win?
Well, and absolutely, and what worries me most about the Pirates, and we've talked about this very same thing, it's nothing new, and one of the things that Pittsburgh Pirate fans have gotten used to, I would say, over the years, is the proverbial choke. And let's hope that doesn't happen in the National League. But you look at the teams that they've really got to compete against, and the Reds, the Nationals, and the Braves most certainly are in the mix there. So the Pirates do have their work cut out for them. But every win they can get, whether it's a big win or a small win, really helps them a lot out in the back end of things there with the Pirate organization. So really a win's a win's a win, and at this point they need as many as they can, because it seems like invariably after the All-Star game, which is just right around the corner, that's when we start to see teams like the Pirates fall apart and other teams pick up the slack there, and the Brewers is one of those teams who've made a move in the post All-Star series there to push the Pirates out of contention in the playoffs.
Well, that's certainly true. Teams do seem to fall apart a bit in the post All-Star break. Now, having said that, I'm a Red Sox fan. We're starting to fall apart a little bit earlier this year. So are the Washington Nationals. Some of the teams who got off to really hot starts, had the best record in Major League Baseball for the first month and a half, all of a sudden can't figure out how to hit the broadside of a barn with a tennis racket. Granted, we're talking baseball, not tennis. But I don't think the Red Sox and Nationals right now could hit the baseball even with a tennis racket.
Well, you brought up the Boston Red Sox. They're obviously on deck to play at 7:10. And then we'll get to the Mariners and the Yankees. But just right around the corner here, the Red Sox and the Rays. And the Tampa Bay Rays, again, one of those teams that really just seem to put it together. And you really can't ever count out the Tampa Bay Rays. But, you know, as you mentioned and alluded to, the Boston Red Sox certainly aren't playing Boston Red Sox ball. And I was a little bit encouraged. And I don't mean to put a group of it in the same thing with the tragedy as the Boston bombings, and maybe they were playing with a lot of heart and a lot of emotion, but it just seemed like in the post-bombing games that they really were out there with a mission and a purpose, but it just seems, you know, like like here recently that perhaps maybe they've lost a little bit of focus. But how special would that be for the Boston Red Sox? At this point, it certainly doesn't look very likely. But how special would that be to see the Boston Red Sox be able to win the pennant and go on to the into the World Series representing the American League in the foreground, in the background of the Boston bombings?
Well, I think that'd be incredibly special. I think you do have a point that you can only play on emotion for so long. See, where you can play on emotion, you can get on a really hot streak, and everybody thinks it's a good deal. And we both had a little bit of an emotional time where maybe we did our best stories on the IndyCar series right after the passing of Dan Weldon. And that's just as media, let alone as players. If you play on emotion, eventually you get more tired than if you were just doing your job on a daily basis. But the good news, Tom, and your St. Louis Cardinals approved this, what, 2-3 times in the last 6 years? All you got to do is make the show.
Make the show. It's all about making the show, my friend. Well, let's break down this game. The Boston Red Sox, Boston's coming in at 23-17. Tampa Bay a little bit behind that at 20-19. Boston's got Durant starting, and Tampa Bay, the probable pitcher starter for them or Cub, and 4-2 and a 3.09 average, and Dupart 3-1 at the 6.40 average. So maybe when you look at this game on paper, the Red Sox stand a chance of beating the Rays. But there again, you look at how the Rays play baseball. A lot of times they dig deep into their bullpen late in the game to really keep the game competitive and close. So when you look at this game, the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays, what are your thoughts?
Well, the Red Sox probably had the more talented team. But as you mentioned, the Tampa Bay Rays tend to dig deep, go deep into their rotation. They have many, many, many guys that could be starting pitchers. And they're a solid team. And they're in Tampa Bay. And it's a unique environment in Tampa Bay. They have the humidor and they play inside a dome. And most Major League Baseball teams have no clue how to deal with playing in a dome. So from that perspective, I'm going to say Tampa Bay wins this game, didn't they?
Okay, and I wouldn't be surprised at that either. But Boston certainly needs a win and needs to start playing with a little bit more flair. They need to be playing some Boston Red Sox games. Well, also on deck tonight, the Reds. Miami Marlins, well, we look at that on paper, really. We look at the Reds, 24-16, and then and the Marlins just struggle across the board and in everything. They're 11-29, and the Reds, 24-16, obviously a huge contender always in the National League Central. We'll look at them tonight going against the Miami Marlins. And those that are listening to us maybe on some of our syndicated affiliates, such as Indiana Talks, this game will be very much underway, if not close to being over, by that time comes around. Obviously, we're on 9-10 on Indiana Talks. But Cincinnati Reds, Miami Marlins, Miami looks like their probable starter is Fernandez. And you look at where he's at, only at 2-2 at 3.365. And Latos with the Reds at 4-0, an incredible 4-0 and 3.04. So we look at this game. I don't know that there's a lot to really break down about this. The Marlins clearly are the worst baseball team in the majors right now, in the bigs, and I don't see that really turning around at any time soon right now. The Florida Marlins, the Cincinnati Reds, I think that this is certainly a game that that the Reds should easily control. Josh, are you still with me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you cut out there, so go ahead and repeat what you said there.
I think you're absolutely right. The Miami Marlins are basically a glorified double-A team. Most of their players shouldn't even be playing triple-A baseball. But when you have an owner who would rather make money, and we don't have time to get into this topic, but he'd rather bilk other Major League Baseball owners for free money so he can put it in his pocket and spend none of it on his baseball team. And it's you get what you get, and I think they're going to get blown out by Cincinnati. It's an absolute shame, and maybe a topic we could talk about later on in this year. But they get money from every other Major League Baseball team, and they're not required to spend it. I don't know about you, Tom. I think if you're going to get luxury tax money, you had better have to spend it on players.
Well, that makes sense, but You know, there again, they've also got other things that they need to spend it on. I don't really know that we need to spend a lot of time actually on the Reds and the Marlins, only to say just a couple things. I think the Reds just need to come in and control that game. Well, we look on down the road here tonight, starting at 8:05. You look at the Tigers and the Rangers, two teams obviously always dominant in the American League, two teams who really have what it takes to get to the next level in the Fall Classic. The Detroit Tigers, the Texas Rangers, Detroit probable is Verlander and Darvish with the Rangers. And you look at Darvish coming in at 6-1 and Verlander 4-3. When you look at these two teams, what are your thoughts in breaking down that game tonight?
Well, Darvish is a very special pitcher, and I think anytime he's on the mound, you got to consider the Rangers the favorite to win the game. That's the game that I'm personally going to watch on MLB Extra Innings tonight. So it should hopefully be a great game. And Darvish has perfect game stuff every time he's on the mound. So the question is he right tonight, or is he going to be a little off and have a bad game? That's basically the only key to that game.
Right, and here's the thing. I like the Rangers in this game. I think that they match up really well, the Tigers and the Rangers. I think that this is just a good opportunity for the Rangers to kind of, again, going back to just getting that win to get them closer to the playoffs. Obviously, they're very close in record, 22-16 for the Tigers, and the Rangers come in at 26-14. I like the Rangers in this game. I think they play a very good game against the Tigers. It's always highly competitive, and certainly a game that I think that if you've got the time to watch tonight, I certainly would do that. Well, getting a little bit later, out west, we got the Giants and the Rockies. Obviously, the Giants having a pretty good season there in the National League, 23-17. And, you know, the Rockies have just kind of been what I consider mediocre. They certainly aren't playing Colorado Rocky baseball. And, San Francisco's got probable pitchers Kane tonight coming in at 2-2, and the Rockies chasing 3-2. That starts at 8:40 tonight. The Giants and the Rockies. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, the San Francisco Giants have everything you would want in a defending World Series champion. They're likely to win the World Series again later this fall. Matt Kane is a great pitcher. He's not going to be a 500 pitcher all year long. I think he's going to use tonight having dominant outing, maybe hit his third or fourth home run of the year. So he's one of the few pitchers in Major League Baseball with consistent power. And I think he's going to go on a winning streak after this. So I look for the Giants to win this game by a score of about 5-1 or 5-0.
I couldn't really agree with you more on this particular game. I think all the stars line up for the San Francisco Giants, not only tonight, but as we look on again into this season. And I wish we had some time to really talk about some of the probable all-stars that could be coming out of the team. So yeah, absolutely, I'll take the Giants on that game. Some of the other like games, we look at the Chicago White Sox and the Angels. I mean, the Angels, you look at who they've got on their team, and maybe they've tried a little bit of a New York Yankee game plan and pulled a page out of their book as far as being able to spend a lot of money. They got a huge TV contract, and you know, they picked up Albert Pujols a couple of years ago. I'm just not that impressed with the Angels. I'm not just saying that because they stole Albert Pujols. You know, with Albert, it was always like, oh, it's not about the money. It's just not about the money. But yet, when the Angels opened up the checkbook, it suddenly became about the money. And I think many people would agree that Mrs. Pujols had a lot to do in that decision. But nonetheless, they have Albert Pujols on the team. Obviously, they've got the dynamic trio out there with some really good sluggers. You look at them being able, what they've been able to really put together. Who would have ever thought with those people on the team they'd be coming in tonight against the Chicago White Sox at 15-25? They got Williams as the probable starter, who's 2-1 against Quintana, which is also 2-1 with the Chicago White Sox, who really in their own right isn't playing very good baseball anyway. But when you look at the two comparatively, and you look at the Anaheim Angels, you would think that with what they've got on their team and the money that they've been able to spend on players, that they actually can have a much better record than 15-25 coming into this game tonight, Josh.
Well, we've seen this in all sports. You can't build a dream team in sports. It typically doesn't. But the Yankees have been able to pull it off with some success. But you can't put Pujols and Hamilton and C.J. Wilson and all those mega players on one team with all those mega egos. And by the way, Albert Pujols, you're totally a liar. It was totally about the money the entire time. And the same thing for Josh Hamilton. He went, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It was totally about the money. But, Tom, bringing up the Chicago White Sox gets into the topic that I told you I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you saw their game the other day against the Minnesota Twins, but there were two really outrageous, horrific umpiring calls in that game. They first said the guy scored when he clearly never touched home plate, and they also said the guy was safe, was out at first, and he was clearly safe at first. Tom, my question for you is, and there's just two examples. We also had this call last week, I believe it was, where the relief pitcher was allowed to come in and be substituted out without even facing the pitcher, which is blatantly against baseball rules. What do you think MLB, specifically Joe Torre, since he's in charge of umpires, needs to do to get this fixed?
Well, it needs to get better umpires. I mean, I think that's a very simple answer. Now, is that the right answer? I don't know. You look at some of these umpires. This isn't the first situation that we've looked at with some of these umpires. I think the guy out there in Oakland, his name was Hernandez, I believe was his name. Certainly, and if I got his name wrong, I apologize, but Joe Torre has got to find a way to stop the siphoning of bad games. Now, every baseball fan can sit back and say, hey, oh, that was a strike. That was a, hey, Blue, get some glasses. That's all part of the game. But when you begin to have umpires in game-deciding situations that happen in Oakland, that happen in Chicago, and we saw, you know, a few years ago when the no-hitter was ruined. Now, he did come on national television and later did apologize for that. But you look at situations like that, and it's not the first time when umpires have just really totally blew it, and really at the end of the day, if a blown call creates a loss and it puts a team with a close record out of the playoffs, you know, you got to look at who's really responsible for that team not being in the playoffs.
So let me ask you a question then, Tom. Are you in favor of more replays with the I've heard everything suggested where a manager can throw a yellow flag onto a baseball field. I personally think that'd be a bit more dangerous than it is in football. Boy has a phone and he can pick up and he calls an umpire upstairs and have the game paused, or would you like to see some of these games be reversed after the fact?
Well, I don't know that you'd ever want to have a game reversed. It is what it is, and I think you devalue the umpire and the umpire staff, the ref staff, if you want to call them that. You got to realize we have a total of three on the field at any given time. I don't know that you ever really want to reverse a game. I think that would be bad for the game and on so many levels. But I think what we do need to have is a situation to where we have a real, true, either use it or don't use it. If we're not going to have instant replay, okay, that's just the way it is. But if we're going to have instant replay, the refs should not be relied on. They need to have a replay ref up in the press box, just like they do with the NFL. They need to have a place where they can go and look at plays. But there again, baseball's long enough, so the challenges or whatever have to be really what I would consider game deciding plays. So I'm in favor of having instant replay. If we're going to have it, let's have it. Let's use it the right way. They shouldn't be out there looking across on a big scoreboard or video board or, you know, what have you, really to make a decision about that. But when you look at a situation that happened out there with Oakland, where it was clearly a bad call from the beginning, I think that those are situations that you've got to look at an instant replay.
I would agree. I would not be in favor of reversing a game unless it's the scenario you brought up earlier. Hey, there's two teams, and they're tied for a playoff berth, and the one team makes the playoffs, and it's on a blatantly bad call. Then I think you might have to reconsider it because you play 162 games. If you actually won the game to make it to the playoffs, say Washington and Atlanta end up in a dead heat. Atlanta makes the playoffs on a blown call. I think then you have to reverse the call. It's not fair for Washington to have won the game and made the playoffs and be denied on human error.
Right, absolutely. And then you look at other situations. You know, a lot of times managers, well, even players to a certain degree, but certainly managers' salaries and futures are determined on whether or not they get in the playoffs and determined on their overall record. Now, there's the other side of the coin here that says, hey, you know, they should have never been in that situation in the first place. If they were playing like they should have been, like they were supposed to have been in the first place, then they would never be in this situation. And so I guess I can see both sides of it. But certainly we want to have a level playing field. And I guess that when you have and I guess you're going to have some bad calls from time to time. That's just the nature of the beast. You're not everybody's perfect. Not everybody's going to make the right call all the time. But you've got to have a mechanism to decide, is this a trend or was this just a bad game? Obviously, everybody's entitled to a bad game. That's the team, the players, the managers, the fans, the umps. Everybody's entitled to a bad game. But when you look at certain umpires, perhaps like the umpire out there in the ump out there in Oakland, this isn't the first time. This could be a situation to where maybe that particular ref or ump needs to ump some AAA games, and or, you know, there needs to be some creative action plan put in place that will allow the correction or the termination, if you will, of an up. And I think that's something that Joe Torre has to look at. Well, we're going to be taking a break here real quick, and when we get back, guys, we're going to be hopefully talking with Jeff Kurtz, going to be breaking down the farm system. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the Washington National game tonight. We'll be right back. Keep it right here on the Hot Corner. It's Thursday night. It is the Hot Corner.
Son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows? Why listen to the same boring results with mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge.
Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com to balance and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know Kenny.
Speed Talk, where entertainment is always a guarantee.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here. The Balance and IndianMay.com have you covered at every turn. The Pit, Gasoline Alley, and the Media Center Press Room. Join us right here for daily updates of all the action. Join Tom Marquis and The Balance every day for your track update, brought to you in part by U.S. Water Systems, RadioSpeedTalk.com, IndianMay.com, and IndyProSports.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. And you're listening to The Hot Corner with your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis. Welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. It is Thursday night. We do this thing every Thursday evening. We round the bases and we bring you up to speed on all the MLB action, rumors, thoughts, whatever. 917-889-8516 is my digits. If you want to chime in on the conversation, give us a call. We'd love to talk with you about your favorite MLB team. And if you got a thought about some of the umps that really kind of have what we would consider some blown calls, we'd like to talk with you about that. We're standing by for Jeff Kurtz. Going to jump into some of the farm action, the Indianapolis Indians, and so forth. Josh, are you still with us? Oh, no, I do have Jeff. Okay, Jeff, are you with me?
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
Fantastic. I thought we still had $2 bill, Josh, but I guess that we had to go. It's a beautiful day in Indianapolis. Obviously, we're working at a couple fronts. We're just outside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Been out there all day long. Obviously, we saw our first crash of the day, Connor Daly. But obviously, this is a baseball talk show, but we're doing a couple fronts, as you can see. But Indianapolis Motor Speedway has some weird broadcast rights and regulations and all of that good stuff. So basically, if you're doing a radio show that's live, they say no, you got to go somewhere else. So we're just outside, how that goes. Well, Mr. Jeff Kurtz, good to have you along with us. We know you from our the balance in football, but we also know you from the baseball world, and you pay attention a lot. And what I like about what you have to bring to the table, Jeff, is you really bring a lot in the developmental leagues. And we were just talking a little bit about the Pirates, and obviously they're the AAA affiliates for the Indianapolis Indians. Great team in the International League West. But you give a great insight to young and up-and-coming players. With the Indians, obviously that's going to be the topic of what we're talking about tonight, but certainly in the International League West or the AAA across the board, if you will. So let's dive right into this. The Indianapolis Indians kind of had a sluggish start this year, but have you had a chance to get out there to the Vic very much at all this year and catch any of the home games, sir?
Sure. I've been out there a few times, most recently Tuesday night for the first game of a four-game set with the Buffalo Bison. So the Tribe and Buffalo both respectively leading their divisions in the International League. It's been quite a contrast, Tom. Buffalo came in as tops in runs scored, batting average, slugging percentage in the IL, and Indianapolis was the top team in terms of pitching from an ERA standpoint. And the games thus far through three games have been much different, high-scoring, offensive slugfest. The Indians have won two of the three contests. They got tripped up today 6-4, but They're playing very well at home, and it's another solid team backed by good pitching and very timely hitting.
Well, absolutely. And we talk about the Buffalo Bisons, and I certainly do apologize if I've got this wrong, but are they not the AAA affiliate for the Blue Jays?
For the Blue Jays, that's correct.
Okay, absolutely. So talk with us. We'll kind of break down what's going on in the International League, and let's just break down the Indians in the International League, and then we'll go to some of the other teams here in the International League. But overall, what have been your thoughts this year with the Indianapolis Indians? Do we see them making a repeat championship appearance?
I think this is a stronger team than last year from top to bottom, more veteran experience. Pittsburgh has stated that they were going to allow, except in extreme cases, the Indians to basically keep their team throughout the season. So last year, the Indians were just setting a torrid pace. They were the class of the International League. And then it all started with Starling Marte, the prize prospect, being called up to Pittsburgh in midsummer in July. And from then on out, it seemed like a player or two each week was summoned up from Indianapolis to join the parent club. And that's a good thing for the players and exciting to see. But it really decimated the roster. And by the time the Indians were in the playoffs, it really wasn't the same team at all that that we saw all summer at Victory Field. And they had the best record in the International League. From this year, a lot more veteran experience, solid players with former major league experience, so I don't think that we'll see a lot of guys be called up throughout the season unless it's an injury concern or just for depth purposes, perhaps at the end of the year. But two prospects that really shone, and they were in action again when I was there Tuesday night, top pitching prospect Garrett Cole is having a wonderful season. He leads the IL in terms of earned run average, and he's done a quality job mixing his fastball with some other pitches this year. He was really missing kind of a third pitch. He had his fastball and an off-speed slider, but he was really needing another pitch to be effective. I think he's not mastered it yet, but he's coming close. Now, Tuesday night was not his best night. Sometimes it works out that way in baseball. It was a quality start, six innings, and he struck out five, but he gave up three home runs. After the game, he said those were off-speed pitches. Buffalo has a pretty quality lineup, so it's really not to be unexpected. He's still learning. He's still going to have some ups and downs. He's a very young player, but turned in a good start and won his third game in four decisions. So Garrett Cole is a guy who I think we'll see in a Pittsburgh uniform probably at the end of the season when the rosters expand in September, but for sure next year he's going to be a cornerstone of what they're trying to do in Pittsburgh. The other guy that I think that fans should locally keep an eye on is the catcher, Tony Sanchez. Sanchez actually just came back from a stint with the Pirates. He was up there in kind of a precautionary role. They had some injuries at that position, so he really didn't get any playing time, but he learned a lot just from being around the Major League club. He's been on a tear since rejoining the Indians about a week ago. He had another nice game on Tuesday night, hitting a home run, a two-run single, and a double in four plate appearances, and has really taken over the lead in terms of slugging percentage on the Indians ball club. Has done a nice job handling a pitching staff that, again, looks to be pretty deep from top to bottom. So he's a guy that I think is being groomed for a starting role at some point in the future. I think he'll probably spend the year in Indianapolis, but he's a guy that the Pirates have their eye on. Those are the two top prospects on the Indians. And then you have some other guys that have seen time up and down between the big leagues and Indianapolis. Center fielder Alex Presley, another solid season. Infielder Jordy Mercer just got called up yesterday. He was with the Pirates for a while last year and had some good games. He's still a young player who has some growing to do. So I think they've put together a pretty talented team. They have the best record in their National League. I think that's been one of their keys to success. Is the Victory Field has been very friendly home confines to them. And I would be surprised if they weren't playing deep into the season. And if you had to pick, you know, who would be in the championship series, in the Governor's Cup, if you will, I think that Indianapolis would rate as a pretty strong favorite.
Well, absolutely. And one of the young kids that I like out there at the Indianapolis Indians obviously just picked up pitcher of the week, Andy Oliver, left-hander Andy Oliver, picked up a pair of victories by allowing just one run in five hits against the Rail Raiders and the Mud Hens. And he tossed a 6-0 scoreless innings last Monday on the road against Scranton. So obviously, he was acquired in the trade that we got. He had some starts with the Tigers. I like him a lot. He seemed to be doing very good here in the Indianapolis Indians. Is this a kid that maybe for pitching depth, because we were talking about depth, where it could be depth, a pitching could be the depth of your team, depth, pitching depth, because I think the Pirates get to a certain point after the All-Star, and they do well, but for some reason they have that proverbial choke. A lot of it comes to pitching. Do you think later on in the season that the Pirates will give a player like Andy Oliver a nod to come in, if nothing else, just to build some depth in their bullpen?
Yeah, that's a real good question. Last year, like I said, they kind of stripped Indianapolis deep in the season, and they were in contention. I think that Oliver is a candidate if he continues to perform well. He's off to a strong start. I like the mix of pitches that he brings to the table, keeps batters off balance. He's not a guy who has a powerful arm, but I think he relies more on location and really a change of speed. So he's got an opportunity, if he continues to pitch well, to be part of that equation. And I think a lot of that also depends on where the Pirates are at. That looks like a very balanced central division with St. Louis, Cincinnati, and the Pirates. And we'll see how things shake out. But if things are pretty even, then he could be a guy that could get a call up, whether that's in August, July, or September when rosters expand.
Well, absolutely, and I just hope that for the Pirates' sake, because it's disappointing for Pirate fans just year after year. At least one thing, if you're a Cub fan, you know it's going to happen. The thing about the Pirates is they have just really spent a lot of time and a lot of energy in developing their farm system. The whole reason that you have a farm system is so that it can pay off for you. Obviously, that's what the Dodgers do. Obviously, also, that's what the St. Louis Cardinals have had a very unique ability to do, is to build through their farm system as well. So I hope, I like Andy Oliver a lot. I think he was a great pickup for the Indians. If nothing else, one of the best transactions that we've picked up in a long, long time. But looking across the International League, we look at some other great players. Obviously, Paul Tuckett, Red Sox, AAA affiliate for the Boston Red Sox, and we look at how they're struggling recently. And we were just talking with Josh in the first half of the show that it seemed like after the Boston bombing, they were playing with a lot of emotion. I know you can't carry the whole season to emotion, but something has drastically happened, and I don't know if it's in the bullpen or where it is. But you look at people that are sitting and doing well, like Mark Hamilton with the Paul Tuckett Red Sox, you know, is doing good. And maybe in situations they could pull players like Mark Hamilton up for, you know, a seven-game stint or something to help them get some wins. Again, giving some of their regular team players, if nothing else, a rest and a few days off and call them up there. But, you know, Mark Hamilton, obviously batter of the week, great slugger for Paul Tuckett, and certainly is a struggle for the Indians. And obviously we here in Indianapolis with the Indianapolis Indians, when we meet Paul Tuckett, it's always a very competitive game, and Mark Hamilton's one of those reasons.
Well, the Indians will head out to Paul Tuckett, actually, after they wind up the series with Buffalo Friday night at Victory Field. They will head out on a road trip and see the Paw Sox. So that will be an interesting battle. I think we could probably fill a show with this, and that's how teams approach AAA anymore in terms of stocking the rosters. It used to be your best upcoming prospects would be stationed on your AAA teams and really be groomed to get that experience anymore. And I think this goes for really all of professional sport. It's what's happened now. Immediate gratification, immediate call up to the big leagues, get your experience on the job. So AAA is no longer really the stomping ground, except for in brief cases. And where you find the prospects really getting groomed at is at the AA level. Teams are stocking those rosters and really having the players get their experience there, and maybe they have a cup of coffee or two at AAA, and then they go to the big leagues. And the AAA rosters are stocked with a lot of former Major League veterans who are just looking for one more opportunity to get back to the big show, so to speak. So I think we could probably fill a show with that, but it's just an interesting philosophy and the way the game has evolved over the last, oh, I would say 2 to 3 seasons, really.
Well, you know what, I'm glad you brought that up. We were talking with Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk just a few weeks ago, and I just made the comment that the Dodgers do very well in their farm system. And when I talk about the farm system, you know, really a lot of our mindset goes to that AAA look. And you would think, hey, that's kind of the difference between junior varsity and varsity, but it really is becoming the trend for AA teams pro teams to look over the AAA and into the AA. And I don't really understand the concept behind that, but it does seem to be somewhat of a universal thing that's going on. So we look up a little bit north here of Indianapolis, just straight up north there in Fort Wayne. I know we have a lot of listeners on Indiana Talks and a lot of Fort Wayne listeners up there. We look at the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, obviously a AA team for the San Diego Padres. What do you see out of that team? Do you see any really good prospects that maybe they'll slide over the AAA and right into the Padre field?
Well, I think there's guys who we're still early in the season, so most teams have played anywhere between 25 to 40 games, depending upon the league and classification and really how the weather's been in those respective cities. Their farm system has been kind of decimated over the last several years. I think they have done more from an acquiring standpoint of other organizations and try to pick and patch where they can. I think the emphasis anymore, and we could also probably do a show on this as time gets closer to the June draft, how teams approach their farm systems and their draft picks. Do they go with a college player, a guy who has experience, or do they like the high school prospect who can be groomed and developed, maybe still is raw, has some rough edges that need to be smoothed out, but maybe offers more in the long term? And I think that what I see in their farm system right now is a lot of guys that are patchwork players here and there, and they're trying to rebuild on the fly, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the International League. I'll talk with you a little bit about some of the teams that are going on now, and we'll just kind of look at that particular game, and certainly feel free to add any commentary about that particular team that you want. But we look over there at Scranton and Toledo. Toledo is up 2-0 in the bottom of the third, at least right now on our live portion of our show. I do want to remind our listeners that our encore show will be on Indiana Talks between 9 and 10. Tonight, but on our live portion here on the Hot Corner on the Balance Radio Network, the score's 2-0. You look at Toledo. Obviously, every year, I would, if we've got a rival, we would say that probably the Louisville Bats and the Toledo Mudhens are certainly the two rivals that cause the Indianapolis Indians more problems. But the Toledo Mudhens and Scranton, what are your thoughts there with that game?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you brought that up between Toledo and Louisville, because I think both teams have struggled over the last couple of years. Those were used to be the iconic franchises in the International League, and it just shows you that Toledo especially is suffering through another dreadful season. I think they had won 10 games heading into Tuesday or Wednesday night's action, so they're really struggling. The farm system there has been depleted. We've seen an emphasis on Detroit wanting to win now and really try to patch holes with some veterans. And I think they've suffered at the expense with their AAA team. And Louisville, they are also off to another slow start. They're not used to that. They draw very well at Slugger Field. But the second year in a row, the Bats are under 500. New manager Jim Riggleman, some exciting players. Bailey Hamilton is one of the top prospects in the Reds organization. He is a fleet-footed speedster in center field, but he's really trying to get his swing down, his batting stroke. He's struggling from a hitting standpoint. He offers a lot in terms of speed on the bases, but he's got to be a more consistent hitter to reach the big leagues. So it will be interesting to see how those two teams play out the season, if they can turn it around. I don't think so in Toledo's case. I give Indianapolis, or Louisville, I'm sorry, a chance to rebound a little bit, just because I like the veteran leadership of Jim Riggleman. But it will be, I think both teams are going to struggle a little bit.
Well, and you, speaking of Louisville, they just started their game against Charlotte. Thoughts on that Louisville-Charlotte game? Charlotte, I think, is a team that we're just really starting to begin to scratch the surface of the talent that they have. In my opinion, Charlotte has been a non-contender, but I don't really look for that to be a long-term thing, especially as this season goes along.
I think the question more in Charlotte is, how are they going to be successful as a franchise? They are at the bottom of the International League in attendance, averaging about 1,700 folks. They are not actually in Charlotte proper. I think they're located actually in South Carolina, outside a suburb of Charlotte, across the state line. So it will be interesting to see long-term viability, fan base, and able to draw, but the White Sox have put a lot of emphasis on developing, and they're going to be in a situation at the major league level where they're going to have some guys that will need to be replaced, and they'll have to replenish that.
Right, absolutely. And that's kind of where and Charlotte's the AAA affiliate for. Do you happen to know? Because I don't have the notes with me real quick.
The White Sox.
The White Sox, you're right. Okay. Well, let's look at another game going on tonight. The Gwinnett Braves, obviously a AAA team for the Atlanta Braves. We just talked about Paul Tuckett and what they've got going on. Tied at zero in the bottom of the first. Look at these two teams in the International League and these two teams together tonight. What are your thoughts?
Gwinnett was off to a strong start in the season, played very well through the first month. Then they recently endured a 13-game losing streak. The Braves are a team that has always been strong in player development. They made a change in the manager, long-term manager, left the organization. And I think that they're a team that's up and down, and we'll see how that kind of plays out. I give them credit for the player development that they have established there in terms of the parent organization, the Atlanta Braves. I'm not sure if they're not in a situation where the cupboard is a little bit empty, and they're trying to have to restock. They had a lot of success for several years, and maybe they're just finding that players just don't come off every street corner, and they're going to have to go through a little retooling there.
Right, absolutely. I think one thing about Gwinnett, they really, really are in a rebuilding stage. 13 games, that'd be a hard for anybody to endure. We look at one more game that's in play tonight in the bottom of the first, still 0-0. The Clippers and Syracuse. The Clippers, obviously, another team that plays Indianapolis very well. When you look at these two teams, what are your thoughts?
Columbus does play the Indians very well. Solid organization. Cleveland's on a little bit of a rebound. Maybe you haven't seen it from the major league perspective, but they have also sunk a lot of resources into trying to rebuilding their farm system. They have some young, talented players that are probably in the lower levels. The minor league team in Columbus is really stocked with a lot of veterans, but they're year in, year out, they're very competitive, and they put a winning product on the field, and I think that's what fans in those cities want, winning teams that they can come out and support and see quality baseball with a blend of experienced major leaguers or former major leaguers and some young up-and-comers.
Right, absolutely, and we've really touched about on really all the major players in the International League, but really there's a couple teams over in the South, the Tides and obviously the Durham Bulls, two teams. Durham, I mean, the Tides pretty much have a pretty strong hold on the International League, but Durham Bulls, obviously, again, one of the most, if you want to call them notable teams in AAA, obviously Bull Durham.
sure.
And the Norfolk Tides, and obviously the Indians have a stronghold on the West in the standings. But Paul Tuckett and the Bisons are you know, Paul Tuckett is just a half a game behind the Bisons. Obviously, both of these are two number one deals, and Indians playing a good series against the Bisons. Obviously will help the Paul Tuckett Red Sox a lot. But Norfolk Tides in the International League South, the AAA affiliate for the Baltimore Orioles. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you just named the class of the International League, the Indians, Buffalo, the Tides, and Durham battling it out. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way the season plays out and those teams see each other at the end of the year. I'd be remiss. I also wanted to mention, Tom, from an Indian standpoint, the managerial job done by Dean Traynor. I think anymore in minor league baseball, it's difficult to keep the same staff together for more than a year or two. He's in his third year at Indianapolis, and he's a very calming influence, fundamentally sound, pretty quiet, but he expects a lot, and he's been able to guide that team through a lot of player transitions up and down between Pittsburgh and Indianapolis.
Oh, absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, they're either managing or playing, for that matter, on the AAA level for a reason. So the good thing about AAA baseball, I love, and I love the Indians' slogan, baseball up close, because you really do get to see some of the really up-and-coming baseball stars up close and really on a national basis. And then a lot of times, you know, especially during the rehabilitation and so forth, you'll get to see a lot of injured players come down and play as well. Well, we're joined by Mr. Jeff Kurtz, obviously a great insight on developmental players, and we appreciate you joining us anytime we can. We about ran out of time with you today, Jeff. Obviously, you're always welcome here on the Hot Corner. Any final thoughts, anything you'd like to add, anything we haven't asked you or talked with you about tonight?
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I love talking sports, whether it's baseball on a Thursday night on a beautiful pre-summer evening, or whether it's football, basketball on your Saturday morning show. I think that you know, it's a great entertainment option at the minor league level, whatever classification. I've seen a lot of games at the single A level, down at the rookie league, triple A level that we've been discussing. Good value for the price, good family entertainment, nice sight lines, you're up close, and you never know who you might see. You might see someone on a rehab assignment. You might see the next up-and-coming future star. You might see someone who has been in the big leagues, been productive, and they're just trying to work their way back. So I would encourage folks to get out, support your local franchise, good affordable prices, and you get a good value for your entertainment dollar.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you joining us today. I would be remiss, obviously, on this week here in Indianapolis, what a huge week it is. Who are your picks for the pole and for the win of the Indianapolis 500?
Wow. You kind of blindsided me there with that question. But,
oh, yeah, I was trying to come up with one good one for you there, Jeff.
I'll take a former winner just for the heck of it, and it's not real original, but I'll go with Dario Franchitti in terms of taking the pole. And in terms of winning the race, I'm going to be biased with my Indiana ties and hope that maybe a guy like Ed Carpenter might get a win. I think that would be good for the sport and good for the Indianapolis 500, actually, to have somebody who's a little bit of a fresh face, been around but not really achieved that success. And we all know with a victory like that, that can do wonders for a guy's career and really make his career in many cases.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. Ed's a great guy. I had an opportunity to talk with him many times. You know, unfortunately, I just think that just the complete domination of the of Andretti Auto Sports has just been really a lot to handle. You look at Marco Andretti, you look at James Hinchcliffe, and you look at this new rookie, Carlos Munoz, just really top-notch drivers. Franchitti has had a top speed. Ed Carpenter has certainly been there out there as well. Well, Jeff, that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate you taking time to stop by here and join us, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Sounds great. Always my pleasure. Take care now.
All right. Jeff Kurtz, always good to have him on and talk with us about the developmental league, especially in the football arena and in baseball arena. We love having him here on the hot corner. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. Get out to your local ballpark. Get out there. Your favorite team. We're gonna be out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway all week. So make sure that you just check all the track reports out right here. But on that note, guys, I'm out of here. Thanks for joining us on the Hot Corner.
Shut up.
Con los terroristas.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.